The hype belongs to number one, but number four carries all the intrigue. The possibilities endless as David Griffin and the Pelicans enter the most consequential draft in New Orleans basketball history. From Brooklyn to beyond, Mount Zion coming to the Big Easy. But at number four, what do the Pelicans do? These stories and more coming your way today, Thursday, June 20th, 2019.
As Bellinger drills one to deep left center field, way back, and it is gone, a home run. Bellinger's 24th home run of the year, a two-run shot. The Dodgers 9, the Giants 2.
Here's the pitch, and there's another one that he blasts out there in the left center field. It is out of here. Mike Trout has just hit a grand slam. Six RBI game for him. His second home run of this ball game.
A swing and a drive to left field and deep. Back to the wall. That ball is gone. A grand slam. A grand slam for Wilson Contreras. A hanging breaking ball. And Contreras hits a granny.
And a great good afternoon. How's your Thursday going, Acadiana, and all points north, south, east, and west? Thanks so much for dialing us up in whatever form or fashion you do. We've got a busy day planned for you and yours. This is NBA draft night, 6 o'clock tonight. We'll find out the fate and the fortunes of the New Orleans Pelicans. And for LSU basketball fans, we'll see if Naz Reid and Tremont Waters have their dreams come to a reality. Will they be selected? Naz Reid, some think maybe late first round. Many think second round. And I still think Tremont Waters is going to get drafted as well. But we'll take you coast to coast in Brooklyn. Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, is there for the draft. And we will talk with him in hour number one. Hot Topics always starts off hour number two. Preston Ellis at the Bird Rights will share his thoughts on the intrigue at the fourth pick overall in the draft. Of course, as you well know by now, that pick secured by the Pelicans because of the Anthony Davis trade to the Los Angeles Lakers. And the big question mark is always centered on what is David Griffin going to do with that? Is he going to choose it and use it? Is he going to trade it for more picks? Is he going to put a current Pelican player with that pick together and ship it off somewhere and get a proven commodity as a player? The options are endless, and David Griffin will go with whatever is the most appealing and whatever he believes will be the best to make the Pelicans the best. So we'll cover it coast to coast, and Shamit Dua from Pelican Bourbon Street Shots will join us as well. We can talk about a whole lot of other things, like Sha'Carri Richardson, named a finalist for the Bowerman Award. In track and field, the Bowerman Award is the equivalent in college football to the Heisman Trophy. It's the most coveted award in collegiate track and field history. She's a friend of the program. We had her on last week. She's one of three finalists that has a chance to win it on the women's side. It will be announced December 19th at the annual Coaches Convention in Orlando, Florida. So we wish her the very, very best as she has opted to forego her eligibility at LSU, and she's going professionally. We also can talk about LSU baseball player Zach Watson. What an accomplishment, being named as one of three outfielders on the 2019 American Baseball Coaches Association Gold Glove team for Division I. It's the second straight year he's earned the honor. And Watson now it becomes the fourth LSU player to receive a Gold Glove Award. Micah Gibbs back in 2009, Alex Bregman, and center fielder Andrew Stevenson in 2015. Pretty darn good company, to say the very, very least. Update. I give you a daily update. My daughter doing better. She's a battler. She's a trooper. She's up and about. Not for long, but she's up, sitting, walking, and is doing just what the doctors ordered. So her recovery process is ongoing. It is ongoing and doing well. And lastly, man, you know, life is short. We've got to appreciate every day because stories like this pop up. And my heart goes out to the family of Terrence Allen. He's 15 years old. He's from Amite High School. He died last night after practicing with his football team. Police say the team had just finished football practice and that Terrence was joking in the locker room before he fell to the ground. Can you imagine the Allen family and what they're going through right now? I can't. So life is short. Life is sweet. Well, this is just sports. We're an escape. We're an entertainment form from reality. Yes, some of these, like Zion Williamson, is going to become a multi-millionaire in a matter of hours. But that's not reality. That's just hard to fathom, isn't it? But our thoughts and prayers to the family of Terrence Allen. My goodness gracious. So we've got a lot to talk about, and I'm all of the belief of this. We've got to temper expectations. Zion Williamson is a phenomenal, one-of-a-kind type of an athlete. He's big. He's strong. He can jump out the gym. He can run forever. He's just spectacular. Something we've never seen before in basketball, and we've seen a lot. We've seen a lot. But he alone cannot make this Pelican franchise a contender. So that's why it will find out what David Griffin, the vice president of basketball operations, is, what his game plan is for this organization. We'll see what it is when dealing with these draft picks and what he's going to do with them. Because if he trades that draft pick and goes out and gets a viable commodity, such as a Bradley Beal, well, then you know that they're all in for the here and now. If he keeps it or trades down and gets more draft picks, then it's a slow building process. And we'll find out with our guests today, who are far more in tune. What is a player like Jrue Holiday thinking? Jrue Holiday is an all-star, one of the best two-way players in basketball. Getting up there a little bit. Every player always says, you know, that we measure our abilities and our capabilities based upon winning championships. Is he buying in? Because everybody has to for this thing to work. Everyone has to. And that's what makes this so intriguing this evening. I've been, ever since that franchise moved from Charlotte, I've been involved in every draft in one form or fashion. Nothing has piqued my curiosity and my anticipation like this. Nothing. Yes, we've had the number one pick before, Anthony Davis. We've got Zion Williamson now. We've had the number four pick overall, Chris Paul. And we have the fourth pick as well in this draft. But there's so many endless possibilities that the Pelicans can go. And we'll see if he's got a trade partner in hand to wheel, deal, and deliver. It's going to be exciting. Cannot wait. So, CD back in the master control suite. He's spinning the tunes, taking care of everything. We're brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. 59 of them in southern and central Louisiana. They're all terrific. I love the one in Doosan. Oh, my goodness. It's like a store within a store within a store. Everything you need. Man, if you can't shop right at ShopRite, you just can't shop right at all. After this first time out, we're heading to Brooklyn, New York, the Barclays Center, where the NBA draft takes place tonight. Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, talked with Zion. We'll get his thoughts on that and the draft next here on the Jordy Helpert Show.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. What a big night it is. My goodness gracious. The NBA draft, Brooklyn, the Barclays Center. Can't wait. Zion Williamson coming to town. But what happens at number four and beyond? That's the intrigue in the draft. Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, doing a just tremendous covering the Pelicans all season long, is joining us now. Andrew, are you there? Maybe not. Okay. All right. We're trying. We're efforting. So, anyway, again, intrigue. What happens? All right. Hey, there's Andrew Lopez. The big buildings in Brooklyn and all block the signal sometimes. How's the Big Apple treating you, my friend? How are you?
You know, I just saw the sun for the first time in 2 days. So that is a positive. But other than that, it's going pretty nice out here.
Okay. You got a chance to, in the media sessions with the top draft picks, you got a chance to listen to Zion, to ask questions. What you've been around the block a time or two. What was your impression of Zion? And you know, we call him Mount Zion already. He's as big as a mountain, and there's mountainous expectations of this young man already. So, what were your thoughts and how he handled himself?
It's certainly Mount Zion. That's for sure. That he is a large human being. That's kind of the first thing you take away. And the second I took away was the fact that he's at the same time, he's like an 18-year-old kid, but still ready to be the face of a franchise. It's kind of an odd way to look at things. He's shy about a lot of things. I mean, there was an NBA event with kids later that day. And the kids walk in, and as soon as Zion walks in the door, they just start cheering. And he just kind of like, you know, smiles, puts his head down, and walks away. When he's with the kid, they start chanting, "Let's go Zion," like in front of his face. And he doesn't know what to do. He just kind of stands there and kind of claps, kind of cheers on. Like he doesn't really know. It's kind of, you know, it's odd because he's been having these experiences for 4 or 5 years now. And it's just – it's weird to remember that he's still an 18-year-old kid, but at the same time, when you talk to him, he's got all the right answers. He knows, like, I want to be the guy who does this. I want to be the guy who does this. You have to be, you know, ready to be the face of a franchise, and that's absolutely what he's ready to be right now.
You had a chance to listen to some other players. The Pelicans have that fourth pick in the draft. If there are no traders available, and maybe David Griffin says, you know what, I want to keep the pick and I want to use the pick, where do you like the Pelicans to go with that?
If they keep it, I think you either go to Jarrett Culver or DeAndre Hunter, one of the two wings. Maybe I go DeAndre Hunter first, mm-hmm. Jarrett Culver second. But I honestly do not think they keep the pick. I think they do end up dealing it. I think it is a slim chance. They have not talked to either of those players yet, Hunter or Culver. You know, I talked to both of those guys yesterday. But that doesn't mean that the Pelicans haven't done their homework. I mean, they've had a scouting department who works on guys for years. They've known, you know, they're going to have a 3-year file on both of those guys right now. So they will feel comfortable if they have to pick either one. But I still think that pick ultimately gets dealt.
And so that's my next question. How do you think they deal it? Do they move back, get a couple of more draft picks? Do you think they put it together and try to get a proven commodity as a player? What do you think? Take me into David Griffin's mind here, if you can.
The two options that you've heard the most rumblings about so far are the Minnesota option for what would essentially be the number 11 pick, and then Robert Covington. And then I think the other option is the Atlanta package, where you probably get some sort of 8 and 10 and something else. Maybe a second-round pick, maybe something else. Those seem to be the picks that are up there right now with 8 and 10. You could end up getting – you'd end up with three top 10 picks. It would be interesting to see where they go with those. With 11 on the board, you get a proven defensive commodity in Robert Covington, who can also space the floor a little bit, which is something you need. But you could have one heck of a defensive lineup late in games if you have Lonzo Ball, Drew Holiday, Josh Hart, Robert Covington, and Zion Williamson. Those are all very, very top-flight defenders that you could have. Obviously, we're projecting on Zion a little bit, but they are definitely trying to move it forward for more talent, period. That's the thing that kind of sticks out to me. That's been their MO all offseason, is they want talent. So if they feel they can get better talent at 8-10 than with the number 4 pick and have two guys instead of one, great. If they can get a veteran in who could step into that starting lineup, they'll do that as well.
That's what makes it so intriguing, doesn't it? I mean, this could be
absolutely a
crazy, crazy night.
It's kind of funny. And even right now, it seems like the first three picks are concrete. But the Knicks have worked out Coby White today. Mm-hmm. There were reports. They worked out Darius Garland yesterday. That's why Darius Garland didn't actually make it to be availability, because he was at the Knicks facility. So Zion's going to go one. Ja's going to go two. We're pretty sure R.J. Barrett goes three, but if R.J. doesn't go three, a lot can get crazy, because at that point, let's say they take one of the guards. Let's say they take Darius Garland at three, Coby White at three. R.J. Barrett's sitting on the table at four. Maybe the Pels just take him. Maybe the Pels get more for that four pick because R.J. Barrett's sitting right there. A lot can happen tonight, and it's going to be a wild night, 1-30, I think.
I'm amazed. I'm interested on your thoughts with the two LSU players in Naz Reid and Tremont Waters. What do you speculate their night's like?
I think both of those guys end up in the second round. Which one goes first? It seemed like a slam dunk that Naz Reid was going to go before Tremont Waters, but now I think you're definitely going to end up with Tremont. It could be a situation where Tremont goes ahead of him. I think both are top 50 guys. Naz may have a little bit of question about his strength, but, you know, when you look at his three-point shooting, he's made for the modern NBA. And Tremont had such a great showing at the combine that he basically went from undrafted, you know, onto a lot of people's boards where he could be the second pick. So I think you're going to see both of those guys go off the board in the second round.
Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the Times Picayune, is in Brooklyn for tonight's NBA draft that gets started at 6 p.m. our time. You're around a lot of media members from around the country that are converged there. What's the general consensus of the Pelicans organization that you're hearing feedback from now?
The right now, what it sounds like is it's a lot of it's a lot of positivity that maybe wasn't there before. They kind of realize that what the Pels are doing is working. David Griffin has kind of transformed the perception of this. I think that has changed for a lot of people in and outside of New Orleans, and a lot of media here are kind of embracing that and realizing that, you know, the Pels are going to be something to be reckoned with. A lot of people think that the Pels are going to be one of the most fun teams to watch next year because of everything that they've been doing in terms of building this roster, whether it's Ingram and Lonzo, any guy you put next to Zion. There's a lot of positivity, I think, around this team from national media members.
Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the Times Picayune. He is in New York for the draft. Talked with Zion Williamson. He says, "I'm just a simple guy, right? I'm just
it's kind
of amazing."
Guy.
He said, "You know, he's watching LeBron and Kobe when he's a young kid, and he's saying they get paid to play basketball, to play the game. That's what I want to do." And he started working out at the age of 5 or 6 years old, and he's on the precipice of having his dreams come true. It's kind of remarkable.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You mentioned the simple guy thing. It took me back to Anthony Davis's press conference when he said, "It's my time, it's my time." That was his reason for leaving. "It's my time, it's my time, it's my time." He said that so many times. That was kind of like yesterday. It felt like Zion said simple guy like 5 or 6 times yesterday. He just wanted to get that across. You know, you ask him, What's your draft night suit going to be like? I'm a simple guy. I'm gonna do this. Oh, how are you gonna celebrate? I don't know. I might just go to dinner with my family and then turn in. He just kind of brushed off everything, and it was kind of remarkable to listen to.
Who represents the Pels in Brooklyn? How's that working out?
I think that there's a couple of front office guys, but you know, Griff, Gentry, all those guys are kind of back home. So for this, it's, you know, Zion will get the hat. Right. There's you know, a couple of guys who will make the actual calls themselves, but and are in the building. But for the most part, it's just going to be, you know, get Zion his hat, send him to the media car wash, and then, you know, get him dinner, and then get him to New Orleans in the morning.
Get him to New Orleans. They already had the Popeyes 82-inch poor boy, and that was snatched
up like an hour and a half
this morning. They've already changed. Yeah, they changed that Union Street sign in the yep. downtown area to Zion Street. They erased the UN, put a Z there. It's just, I was there when Pistol Pete came to the New Orleans Jazz from the Atlanta Hawks, and the stir that was created and the sellouts in the Superdome. But I've never seen anything quite like the excitement and the anticipation of this young man that's coming to New Orleans. It's going to be remarkable.
I was sitting, I was talking with Will Giller from The Athletic, talking to writer. We had lunch today, and we were sitting at lunch, and we both just kind of, I think that's when somebody sent both of us the picture of the Zion Street instead of Union. And we both kind of sat there and were like, this is bigger than what Reggie Bush was. We can't remember anything where the city was buzzing this much about one individual player. I mean, the Super Bowl run was huge. Obviously, the entire city is going to be going nuts for that. But to us, it this is more than what Reggie Bush was years ago. I mean, this is just a lot, and it's really, you know, it's fun to watch from this side. And I kind of wish I was down there to kind of see what Fan Fest is going to be like tonight.
Yeah, Fan Fest going on later on. It'll be packed. It'll be fun. You're in Brooklyn. Man, enjoy it, my friend. It's going to be a fun night. I cannot wait to see. It all starts at number four in all reality. And the Pelicans kind of controlling this draft. And that's kind of a good thing to hear. We haven't heard that before. And it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's multiple picks. You're going to have, you know, a couple of second rounders, too. It's going to be a busy night for the Pels. Just not something you've been able to say about draft night for the Pels in a while.
Well, Andrew, thanks for your time, buddy. I know it's a busy day. Go have fun, enjoy it, and we look forward to talking to you down the road when all the kind of the dust settles, and we'll see. I can't imagine what's on David Griffin's plate. I just cannot imagine. He must have five phones, and they're all working at the same time. I just can't imagine it.
Oh, I can only imagine. I tried to get a call in earlier. I wasn't successful, so I can only imagine.
No. Not happening. Andrew, thank you so much. Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the time speaking. We'll take a timeout. We'll resume the conversation when we return on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Helpert Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Ah, yeah, c'est le bon temps roulé. The good times are rolling in the Crescent City for the anticipation of the NBA draft tonight. Welcome back, boys and girls. This is the Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Clint Domain, a.k.a. CD, back in the master control suite. He's making everything work. Everything worked last night for the Vanderbilt Commodores as they beat the Mississippi State Bulldogs 6-3. In the College World Series to remain undefeated and in the driver's seat in their side of the bracket. This rocker kid who was brilliant in the Super Regional with that 19-strikeout no-hitter went six innings, gave up five hits, one earned run, struck out six, and gave his team all they needed to win. I'm sorry to say for all you fans that adopted Florida State and Mike Martin and his farewell journey in college baseball, 45 years under his belt, but Texas Tech eliminated the Seminoles 4-1 last night. So Florida State goes home. Their season is over, and a great fitting ovation for Mike Martin as the game ended. And it's got to be a relief. I mean, I know he wants to win, but, man, it's time to relax and enjoy some sunsets and not have to go recruit and do all those things that he has to do. But anyway, elimination game tonight, Mississippi State and Louisville. That starts at 7 o'clock in the College World Series. So Commodores in their in control, undefeated at the College World Series. And then they're pretty darn good. Other baseball news. The Tennessee Volunteers extended the contract of baseball coach Tony Vitello through the 2024 season after he led the Volunteers to their first NCAA tournament berth since 2005. You win, things come around. But, man, this Kumar Rocker of Vanderbilt is just amazing. Tracy Rocker's son, the former Auburn superstar football player, Kumar Rocker, pretty darn good, to say the very, very least. And I know LSU baseball fans are hoping that LSU gets back into this thing. But again, Pelicans with the first pick in the NBA draft tonight, then the Memphis Grizzlies at 2, the New York Knicks at 3, the Pelicans at 4, Cleveland at 5, Phoenix at 6, Chicago at 7, Atlanta at 8, Washington at 9, and Atlanta at 10. I don't know how much people covet that fourth pick. A lot of teams need a point guard. They need one. And there's a couple in this draft, not many more after that. Garland, who we never saw this season playing at Vanderbilt, but he only played 5 games until he suffered that MCL injury. So he was done, and Kobe White, the mercurial, quick-as-a-cat guard from North Carolina. So it just, after all the workouts, after all the sit-down sessions and picking their brains and finding out what kind of human beings they are, if they fit into the culture of that team and that system, some team, all it does is take one team to fall in love with a player, and they'll go leap over mountains to get him. I, too, agree. I do not think that the Pelicans will hold on to the fourth pick. I think they will try and package that, whether they move down and trade that with Atlanta for a couple of picks from them. Maybe they trade to Atlanta and pick up the number 8 pick and the number 10 pick. Maybe. Maybe they go further on to number 11 with Minnesota and get a player and the 11th pick for the fourth pick. It just depends on what that team sees with the remaining players on the board. And so much is speculation. So much. So we really, truly don't know. But the trade rumors are out and about. Now, the Pelicans also own the 39th pick in the second round as well. And what are they going to do with that one? Just don't know. It's too. There's too many moving pieces. We've heard of, you know, David Griffin has a relationship with the Cleveland Cavaliers because he worked there. We heard that Cleveland's looking to move, and maybe Kevin Love, who recently signed a 4-year contract with Cleveland. Does he feel that does he value Love enough to make a deal with the Cavaliers? I don't know. Cleveland would love to make the deal in their start-over mode. It would give the Cavs the 4th pick and the 5th overall pick tonight. So maybe Cleveland wants to jump in. I don't know. So many. This thing could go in so many different directions. And, you know, sort through all the innuendos, sort through all the rumors, sort through everything, and it will come into fruition sooner rather than later. But can you imagine David Griffin What's he thinking and how many offers he is getting? I got to believe he's getting a ton of them. I really do. And again, he also has the option of taking one of the players that came over in the Laker deal, packaging one of them with the fourth pick overall, and maybe getting a, quote, all-star caliber player to join in. There's all kinds of possibilities. You just don't know what the other teams are thinking and how much they value that position, and do they value a Lonzo Ball? Do they value a Brandon Ingram? And that's what makes this thing so, so fascinating. It really does. This whole draft has changed completely with, and basketball has changed completely with what simply happened in the NBA Finals to the Golden State Warriors, with Kevin Durant going down and with Klay Thompson going down. Durant's going to miss the whole next season. The New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets were trying to package a deal where Durant and Kyrie Irving would come over. Now what do those teams do? You hear reports that we're pulling back. I'm not so sure we just want a Kyrie Irving. Package deal, yes. But just one, maybe not worth all the headache. That, who knows? Who knows? Free agency is going to be terrific. Terrific. But this is all about Zion Williamson and the interest that he brings with him. He's got that smile that Shaquille O'Neal had. He's got that personality. He's got the skill set that we've never seen before. Not from a player of that size and that magnitude. We just haven't seen it. And if he just, I think the thing he needs to do, and I think Gail Benson needs to do this. They need to set up a dinner with Gail Benson, Zion Williamson, and Drew Brees. And Drew just needs to talk. And Zion just needs to listen. Because, yes, Drew Brees has put up incredible numbers, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer. There's no question about that. And he led a team to a Super Bowl. But beyond all of that, he has incorporated himself into that community. He's a fiber and a fabric of that community. And that's why he's reached a level of status that no one in the city, no one that has ever been a sporting participant has ever accomplished. Zion can do the same and be the Drew Brees of the basketball side of things. When he incorporates himself and he makes the city of New Orleans feel like he's one of them. And it doesn't take much. It won't take much. And they'll pack the rafters to watch him play. And I think his game will be even better in the NBA than it was in college. The dimensions are the same, 94 by 50, but man, it's just more wide open. It's more spacious. So we'll see. And again, in the eyes of the Pelicans, maybe that fourth pick through that 10th or 11th pick, maybe the value of those players are so close that the Pelicans make a deal, trade down, get a proven player, maybe get the 10th pick in the draft or the 11th pick in the draft, and continue onward and upward. We shall see that it makes for a very, very intriguing night. I don't think a Kevin Love's on the table. I just don't. I had my hopes up on a Bradley Beal from the Washington Wizards. I don't know if that's a possibility. But, again, are we absolutely, positively sure maybe the New York Knicks trade spots with the Pelicans and acquire another asset from New Orleans, perhaps a current player or perhaps one of the future number one draft picks that the Pelicans obtained in the deal with the Lakers for Anthony Davis. That's down the road. Maybe they do that, and maybe, just maybe, the Pelicans take up a R.J. Barrett. You never know. You never know. You just don't know. So we'll see. And, of course, we'll recap it all tomorrow. Much more coming up on this in hour number two. Preston Ellis at the Bird Rights will join us. Shamit Dua of Bourbon Street Shots will join us. And we'll go over it ad nauseum. It's a monumental night for basketball in this state with the Pelicans. It's a monumental night. And it can go in so many different directions that it's intriguing to watch. Can't wait to see it. So we'll see. 337-706-0111. 337-706-0111 is the number. If you got any thoughts, input, we'd love to hear from you. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. This is the Jordy Helfert Show. 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Game is all over social media. We want to interact with you. Tweet us at 1037 The Game and vote on our show's Twitter polls. Like 1037 The Game on Facebook. Comment on the biggest topics involving your favorite teams.
Incense.
Check out our video recaps and give us your feedback. Can't get enough live and local sports talk? Keep the conversation going online all the time with Acadiana's number one sports station.
The Game!
1037 The Game. The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfert Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back as we wrap up hour number one. It's NBA draft night. The College World Series is going on. We've got all that. But, man, it's all about the NBA draft. Football's kind of quiet. No Hold That Tigers coming from Ed Orgeron. He's got some big camps coming up this weekend. Maybe we'll get some more of that. Maybe he does get his 25 allotment all committed and ready to go and ready to sign in the early signing period. And many of those will be early enrollees as this ball keeps rolling. You get the sense LSU football on a roll. LSU basketball got a big-time recruit for next year. The point guard from Walker High School, really good player, Cook. And everything seems to be rolling for the Pelicans. Raymond Price drove from Gulfport to Popeyes on Canal Street for the Wingspan box. Remember that? The wingspan of Zion Williamson, about 82 inches. Hey, think about that, 82. That's absurd. That is absurd. He was first at the door at 9:07 a.m. Candace Wright and Will Joseph joined him. Madison Parker was second in line at 9:20. She carried out the box by herself. She said she was on her way to meet friends this morning for chicken and mimosas. Man, and those biscuits. Oh, how good are those? I wonder what Elfrid Payton's thinking. I wonder what's going through his mind. The raging Cajun star who found a home with the Pelicans, and now here comes Lonzo Ball and Alvin Gentry just raving about how much he likes Lonzo Ball. I wonder what... Welcome to the real world of the NBA. Maybe here today, gone tomorrow. But you can't have enough players. You got to have somebody that comes off the bench. Starters aren't going to play every minute. I think Elfrid Payton is of the mindset and the character that he can come off the bench and contribute. I know he's going to fight like heck to be the starter, and that will only bring out the best in all of everyone. But I don't think Elfrid, if he does not win the starting spot, I don't think he'll be, in fact, I know he won't be a bad character guy that causes problems in the locker room. No way. So I think he'll be okay with that. But it's just curious. And how many of the current Pelicans on the roster will be there when it counts, when they tip it off for the opening of the season? A season that will, heck, they sold 3,000 tickets when they won the lottery and they got the number one pick. So you know it's going to be filled to the rafters. And that's exciting. Man, that's exciting. So I hate to keep saying it, but other than that, I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. It's like an octopus with eight arms, and David Griffin can go in eight different directions, depending upon who he can deal with and what they have to offer. Because I know he's listening. I know he's listening. And it just takes one team to bite to make this thing work. Maybe Miles Turner, the big that came from Texas, is at Indiana. Maybe they make a trade there. Shop Turner and that draft pick for the number four spot. So much depends on dollars and cents, how long contracts are, expiring contracts. Certain teams are like, well, look, we're not going to win anyway. We're not going to get to the playoffs, so we're certainly not going to compete for an NBA title. So let's kind of start over. Let's go young. And that's what I'm curious to see of what David Griffin does, because is he in the rebuild mode? Is he in a let's take a little while and build this thing the right way? Or does he get enough assets here and now to make this team really competitive? Because the shift in the NBA has changed. I mean, Golden State's still going to be good but how good can they be with just Steph Curry and Draymond Green? When can you count on Klay Thompson coming back? And what's Kevin Durant going to do? Is he going to opt in for $31 million and sit out the year and maybe get back for the playoffs? If Golden State's there. I think if you're the LA Lakers and you're counting on LeBron James to be healthy and Anthony Davis, I mean, they're in win it all now mode. Win it all now. And rightly so. They got two elite superstars on their team. So they got exactly what they wanted. And Rich Paul gave them exactly what his client wanted. He massaged and finessed this deal the very best way to get his client exactly where he wanted to go. And that's to the Lakers. So LeBron has his sidekick. And he's never had a sidekick like this. He's had Kyrie Irving. He's had Dwayne Wade. He's never had an Anthony Davis. Chris Bosh was a different kind of a player. Anthony Davis is completely different from all of them. Now, yeah, they need some more pieces. They've got Kyle Kuzma. Some people are high on him. Some people aren't. Who's going to be the point guard? What kind of shooters do you have? So that's what the Lakers have to figure out. But I'm curious to see what David Griffin wants to do. Pelicans need a big. They need some shooters. There's a lot left here. You can book it if they keep it as is, that Lonzo Ball will be your point, Drew Holiday will be your two guard, and Zion Williamson will be your power forward. After that, I don't know about Brandon Ingram. Is he a starter? If they keep him, okay. If they get nobody else as a viable player in the league, then you got Ingram. And they just exercised a contract for Jahlil Okafor. Maybe he's your starting center. That's not going to win you any championship. That's not going to get you in the playoffs, that lineup. No way. Maybe. Maybe, just maybe, David Griffin pulls a rabbit out of his hat yet again. Makes for some interesting discussion. Interesting discussion. We are brought to you each and every day by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. You can watch the NBA draft on all the many, many flat screens, television sets at Hooters. Get some great food. Get some great bargains. Have a lot of fun. Hooters just makes you happy. Just does. Soccer, FIFA World Cup. Sweden versus the USA. And the USA with a 1-0 lead as Lindsey Horan had the goal for the U.S. women's national team to get going. They're looking to clinch Group F and remain unbeaten in World Cup action. Oh, women's soccer in the United States, they're really, really good. Really good. Men, women, really good. We've got a really good second hour coming your way. Hot topics and more NBA draft discussion on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 103.7 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's hour number two of two on this Thursday, the 20th day of June. Hope you're having a great one. And in about, 3 hours, with the number one pick in the NBA draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson, forward, Duke University. And the Crescent City goes wild. Yes, indeed. And then the real fun begins, because then we see what happens at number four. And that's big. That's the big story around the NBA and basketball circles as David Griffin and Trajan Langdon and the rest of that staff all busy working behind the scenes trying to come up with the best available that they can possibly find in this very, very significant and very important evening of NBA basketball for the city of New Orleans. It is huge. With that in mind, we start off hour number two every day the same way. My main man, CD, hit that button as we take our daily walk around the sports water cooler.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, CD, don't be calling me at 6 o'clock tonight now, because I'm going to be glued to the tube.
Oh, I can about imagine, Jordy, mind you, I shall be as well. I think I'll definitely text you once we get Zion and kind of just see what happens next, because my goodness, it is going to be a fun night. And we'll get to the NBA draft in a little bit, Jordy, because a lot of things have kind of popped up over the last few hours that I feel like is a lot more interesting to kind of lead off. And I'll go ahead and start off with a report about the Tampa Bay Rays. They're looking to be becoming a two-city team with games in Montreal in the second half of the season. Is it the most ridiculous idea ever? Why not just like have the MLB should just agree to move the Tampa Bay Rays to Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Yeah. That way you can kind of get rid of Tropicana once and for all. It's a dump.
Agreed. It's a dump. Nobody cares. Nobody goes. Nobody wants them. I think Montreal would welcome them back with open arms. Joe Carter and company. I mean, come on. So it's just go away. Just go away, Tampa. Go away.
Exactly. I'm just like, get rid of Tropicana. I was there once, Jordy. I actually went to one of those games the year they wound up going
really?
To. Yeah. I wound up having a family friend graduate in Tampa, Florida, so we went over there for a few days, and we caught a Rays game. This was the year when you had Evan Longoria, you had Carlos Pena, you had like everybody look at them. They were the underdog, weren't supposed to be in the World Series at all. So I actually got to see them when they were really hitting their stride that one year, and even then it was definitely a relative dump. I mean, everywhere you could go, you could get a foul ball. Nowadays, obviously, you'd have to have netting everywhere. But I'm serious, Jordy. I think I almost saw like a little girl get pegged as she was coming out of the foyer from the concession stand. She almost got pegged with one.
No.
Luckily, it didn't, but it was just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a dump.
Yeah, goodbye, Tampa Bay. Goodbye, Trop. Goodbye to the Trop. Yeah, it's a dump. I'm with you.
Yeah, and Jordy, this kind of popped up just moments ago on the Twitter machine. It was reported earlier, but now it looks like it's official. The Pelicans have picked up Jahlil Okafor's option for the 2019-2020 season. Was that really the bright spot in the Pelicans' 18-19 season, Jahlil Okafor kind of coming to his own?
Yeah, I think he really worked hard on his game. Look, he was a top draft pick coming out of Duke not too long ago, but some weight issues, some knee issues. Now, if you look at his body, he's transformed it. He's lost about 20, 25 pounds. He went on a vegan diet. Now he's adding some beef to it to regain strength, but he's toned down, trimmed down. And he can give you some viable minutes at the post position. So it's not costing the Pelicans anything. He's only guaranteed like $57,000. That's it until January. And then if he makes it past January, then only $1.7 million. That's nothing in NBA circles. So it's a can't-lose situation for the Pelicans. If he delivers, they get him on the cheap. If he doesn't, they pay him real cheap, and they move on.
Oh, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him and how he fits into the plans going forward, Jordy, because you got to think they're going to keep him around, have him with Zion. It's going to be a crazy thing to just see what happens with that starting five, especially if everything kind of goes in the ideal situation where you see the Pelicans still pick number four and manage to somehow, some way get R.J. Barrett. But, of course, I think the smarter thing is them going to go ahead and jump on whatever is available in terms of a trade to be able to get some really good prospects down the line to help with depth. Because I feel like you're starting five strong enough.
There's a million options they can go. I mean, they're million. You can take one of those Laker players, package it with the number four pick, and get a proven commodity. Or you trade back and get more draft picks, whatever. There's all kinds of scenarios. It's like an octopus, I said earlier. There's eight arms out there, and David Griffin can go any direction that he wants depending upon who he can bring into the sandbox and play with him.
Exactly, Jordy. It's gonna be fun to see what happens with this team going forward. And, of course, moving over to the NFL, big news coming out of there with the competition committee finalizing the new rule, reviewing pass interference, opting against several suggested tweaks, and upholding the wording owners originally approved back in March. Jordy, that means it's only going to be around for 2019, after which owners will decide whether to extend it, tweak it, or eliminate it altogether for the 2020 season. Can you see this rule sticking around longer than just this season?
I can. I don't think it's going to be that difficult to enforce. They'll be able to challenge pass interference calls or no calls up until the two-minute warning of either half, the final 2 minutes of each half, and in overtime, on-site replay officials will be responsible for stopping the game to review pass interference as they are for all other reviewable plays. Of course, the no-call, the Nollins no-call was late in the game, so the replay official would have to call it. Let's just get it right. Whatever it takes, get it right. That's all. It can't be that difficult. It just can't be.
It cannot be, Jordy. I mean, we're talking about that, and now we've got, like, while we're talking about plays up for review right now in the Team USA game, you've actually got a VAR going on right now on what looks to be a USA goal. Put them up 3-0, or 3-0, I should say. But, yeah, hopefully we'll find out something before we kind of wrap up this segment, Jordy. But, yeah, that's definitely the big thing with replays, and perfect segue to look at the Team USA currently up 2-0.
2-0, let's make it 3-0. They're good. Man, they're good.
Run it up, baby.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. Run it up. Every goal counts. Goal differential counts. There's your Hot Topics brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a little Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. More NBA talk. We got to do it. Today's the day. We got to do it. Preston Ellis at the Bird Writes next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Holford Show on 103.7 The Game.
And we welcome you back. Oh, what a night it's going to be. So much anticipation. What's going to happen? We know what's going to happen at number one. What's going to happen at number four for the New Orleans Pelicans? And I can't wait. I can't remember this much anticipation for an NBA draft maybe ever since the franchise moved from Charlotte to New Orleans. Preston Ellis, does a terrific job for At The Bird Writes. Preston, on this hours before the draft begins, how are you feeling, my friend?
I think we're just all hunkering down for the hurricane to come. We've already been teased by Woj and Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer that this might be the biggest draft day in NBA history just in terms of transactions. So I think we're all just sitting in front of our computers waiting for all hell to break loose.
I think the Pelicans did a smart thing. I'm amazed at the transformation of Jahlil Okafor. He's really been working hard on his physique, but they opted in on his contract for another season. You got to have some bigs, and I guess they liked what they saw enough of him last year to warrant that.
Yeah, I don't want to underplay Jahlil Okafor's impact because obviously we're proud of him. He put in the work. He did a great job. He was a team player, and he had that spectacular run near the end of January with the Drew Crew. But he kind of fizzled out towards the end of the season there. He didn't get a whole lot of looks through the first initial part of the season. And while Malika Andrews did report that the Pelicans did pick up his option, he's only guaranteed $54,000 through January, Jordy. So this really is much ado about nothing.
Right. $54,000 in the world of the NBA, that's not even a half a game for a lot of players. So that's you're absolutely right. Preston Ellis, kind enough to join us. Okay, no doubt. How do you see Zion's transformation from the collegiate game to the world of the NBA?
Well, right now we're pegging him as a Draymond Green with the offensive skill set of potentially Julius Randle, albeit with more bounce. So just those three things together, and he could be one of the game's best fairly quickly. And plus, he's got the demeanor that everybody looks for, a guy who doesn't care where he ends up. He doesn't seem to be afraid of the press, of the limelight, of the national media. If anything, he seemed a bit disappointed yesterday in his interview when he was asked about Anthony Davis. He said something along the lines of, I have the quote in front of me, but he's a grown man. He's got to do what he's got to do. So, you know, you almost had that glimmer of disappointment. Man, what would have been like the two of these guys doing four or five pick and rolls? Yeah. But with that being said, it appears he's going to be a wrecking ball on the offensive end. And on the defensive end, it appears he can guard pretty much anybody. He's got the body to take on the big boys. He's got the speed, and he's got the lateral quickness to chase you out on the perimeter. So it doesn't appear right now that there's anything he can't do other than offensively, you know, he's going to have to work on his jumper. And we don't know where that's going to be in the next 3 years. And that's really going to tell us a lot about what he evolves into as a player.
Preston Ellis at the Bird Writes. Okay, I'm going to make you the general manager, and you have carte blanche. You have total control over this situation. So let's say Memphis goes and takes Ja Morant. And let's say the New York Knicks take R.J. Barrett. You're up at number four. General manager of the Pelicans, Preston Ellis, what string are you pulling?
Well, just to expand on what you said, those three picks are done deals. So the clock has been on the New Orleans Pelicans at number four for 24 hours at this point, and they've talked to any number of teams. There's the possibility that Pelicans don't make one trade in the first round. There's the possibility that they make two. And here's why I tell you that. Right now, most prognosticators have 4 through 11 ranked pretty evenly. So if the Pelicans drop down to, let's say, 6 with the Bulls or 7 with the Suns, there remains the possibility that they might drop back even further. And I'm going to expand on why. Right now, the Pelicans stay where they are. The odds are they're probably going to go with either Jared Culver, Coby White, possibly Darius Garland. And they're not going to want to take those guys because they're pretty filled out at the backcourt right now. They need a floor-spacing big, and they need some perimeter guys. So it doesn't make sense for them to stand pat and take the best player available. It makes sense for them to move back a couple of spots. And if they're not going to acquire somebody like a T.J. Warren or Robert Covington from the Suns and Timberwolves, respectively, then you really have to take a look at guys like Rui Hachimura and DeAndre Hunter, because it appears those are the type of players and type of bodies that the Pelicans really need right now.
Very, very interesting. So which team do you think? There's a lot of teams that need a point guard, and there's a couple of point guards. Garland's out there, the kid that was at Vanderbilt that only played five games, and then there's Coby White from North Carolina. Which teams out there are, you think, in the most need for a point guard that would want to exercise this, and what comes along with a team moving up to get that number four as far as a draft pick and maybe a player as well?
Well, future draft capital is probably going to come into the mix. But more important than anything is David Griffin wants win-now players, and obviously he's got some cash to spend in free agency, $19.9 million at this point. But let's say he deals with Chicago and he wants to bring in Otto Porter and his 1+1. He'd have to offset Etuan Moore and Solomon Hill, but he gets a guy who can play the 3 and the 4 right away. Let's say he wants to deal with the Heat at the 13. They've got four guards right now making $75 million next year. They're wildly over the luxury tax, so they're going to want to offset some salary. So you can kind of take them to the cleaners. You can take Kelly Olynyk off their hands. You can take Josh Richardson off their hands. You can let go Solomon Hill and Etuan Moore. That'll still save them probably about $8 million, plus they can dump them at the February trade deadline and save themselves some money off the tax. And then they get to move up to number four in the draft, and they get to pick, you know, whoever it is they're seeing, probably Darius Garland or Coby White at that point. And then you've got Atlanta. They've got the 8th, the 10th, the 17th pick, plus you can dump Solomon Hill for Kent Bazemore, a guy who can play some 3 for you right now, and he's expiring, so it's not a long-term commitment. So, but the one that I like the best right now, the Boston Celtics appear to be going back into the rebuilding train. Obviously, they've got almost enough money to get a max player, but nobody really sees them as a max level landing spot at this point, given the disappointment of last season. So let's say we take Aron Baynes off their hand. He can play the 5-4 now. He's an expiring. He's just $5 million. You give them Solomon Hill. They've got 3 first-round picks this year and a first-round pick next year to deal with the Pelicans to move up to number 4. So let's say David Griffin just wants to store the coffers and bring home 4 first-round picks and a guy who can play the 5-4 you this year.
Wow. It ain't easy, is it? There's a lot on the plate there. It's not easy.
No, there's certainly a lot on the plate, and this is where things get really complicated. Let's say that they do want to deal with, say, the Suns. They want to bring home T.J. Warren. But then the Celtics are still interested in maybe DeAndre Hunter. Maybe they move back to exchange with the Suns and then move back again to exchange with the Celtics. And all of a sudden you've added T.J. Warren and Aron Baynes and probably dumped Solomon Hill somewhere and picked up 2 or 3 more first-round picks. I mean, the possibilities are endless, and Kevin O'Connor and Adrian Wojnarowski have already prefaced that this is going to be a wild night, and this is why we're all on edge right now.
Yes. Preston Ellis at the Bird writes, take me into the mind of Jrue Holiday. What do you think he's thinking about all this? He's a guy that's a great two-way player, obviously. He's getting up there a little bit. Now, the Pelicans were great to him when he was having the problems with his wife. And her health, and he has shown his loyalty to the franchise. But is he buying into this, you think?
Oh, he's 100% in. We spoke to Mike Rivera, his personal coach, probably about 3 weeks ago, Ali Cosell and I. Jrue was over there training with Anthony Davis, with Stanley Johnson, with Frank Jackson, with his brother Justin. He is 100% bought in. He is ready to be the face of the franchise, whether that means the next 2 years, the next 3 years. He is in. David Griffin has said all the right things. Aron Nelson is already talking to him. Trajan Langdon, of course, is a major hire. They're putting $5 million into the facility. No, I'm telling you right now, Jrue Holiday is 100% all in. And the Pelicans are not done. Right now, it looks like he's running alongside the baby Lakers. There are still major additions that are going to be made to the squad. This squad is going to continue evolving tonight and through July 6th when they ultimately make the trade with the Los Angeles Lakers. So rest assured, good things are coming to the Pelicans. Good things are going to continue coming to the Pelicans, and Jrue Holiday is going to be a major part of that.
Your thoughts on the dangling out there of, I think he's a great player, and he's still young, and he can really do what the Pelicans need, and that's shoot the basketball. The Wizards at number 9 and Bradley Beal. Is there any fire to that smoke?
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people in New Orleans who are salivating over Bradley Beal, and he is a great player, but he just doesn't make any kind of long-term sense with the New Orleans Pelicans, not only around what they're doing right now, but in terms of the salary he's making and the salary that he's already eligible for. If the Pelicans were even interested in him, and let's say they wanted to move off Moore, Solomon Hill, and the number four for the number nine pick, that would be a great deal for the Pelicans. But with that being said, it doesn't make sense for them to do that deal unless he then immediately turns around and signs a three-year extension, which is going to put him somewhere near the 30 or 35% max. And then that's your team, Jordy. That is your team for the next 4 to 5 years. You've got Jrue Holiday. You've got Bradley Beal. You've got Zion. You don't have a lot of wiggle room. So obviously it's a risk. It would be a very good team. It would be a win-now team. But here's the danger with that. Probably in about 3 years, you're paying $80 million to Jrue Holiday and Bradley Beal alone. Zion is going to be close to his extension. Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, all these guys are – it just really limits your flexibility when you don't even know what kind of player Zion is. And that's the mistake Dell Demps made with Anthony Davis. He put all these shooters around him, when meanwhile Anthony Davis is a guy that can get you 35 points a game. He really needed more 3 and D guys, but he didn't know that.
All right. Very good. Preston Ellis at the Bird Rights. The Pelicans also have the 39th pick overall, and they've got the 57th pick overall. That one from Denver via Milwaukee. Any value whatsoever in those two picks, in your opinion?
Well, I guess it depends on how you qualify Frank Jackson and Cheick Diallo. We've seen Dell Demps in the past use those two picks to move up somewhere near the front part of the second round, but I would expect, just with how filled out the Pelicans roster is at this point, if either of those players make the roster, it's probably going to be as a two-way player on a two-way contract. We'll see them at summer league, that sort of thing. But the Pelicans are pretty deep right now. I think they're already 12 deep. They're going to get into the free agency pool. They're probably going to acquire somebody in a draft day trade today. I don't know that there's any space left on the roster for either of those players beyond a two-way contract.
God, it's going to be a fun night, isn't it? I mean, this is an historical night for New Orleans NBA franchise history. It really is. I've been to all of them, but nothing's piqued my curiosity quite like this one.
Everything has just fallen right for the Pelicans all offseason long, from the hire of David Griffin to winning the lottery to the number four overall pick from the Lakers, pretty much becoming the number one overall pick in this draft, given that it's a three-player draft. And after this, Jonathan Wasserman of Bleacher Report says 4 to 11 is all ranked pretty evenly. So if you're a smart team like the Pelicans, you don't really care where you end up from picks 4 to 11. In fact, if you end up closer to 11, you're paying less money. So there is a desperate team out there who needs to fill a position of need, like point guard most likely. So those desperate teams are going to have to offload a lot of talent to get into the Pelicans' position. Good things just keep falling into the Pelicans' hands this offseason, and it's only a predicator of great things to come next season.
Can't wait. Preston Ellis at the Bird Rights. I can't thank you enough on a very, very busy day. Hey, we're not going to bother you. Stay close to your computer, and we look forward to all your reports down the road, man. A historic night for the NBA in the city of New Orleans, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. It's going to be wild.
Yeah. All right, buddy. You take care. That's Preston Ellis at the Bird Rights. We'll continue with more of this NBA coverage. It's the biggest deal in town when we return. This is the Jordy Helfert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Acadiana's sports station.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline, it's the Jordy Helfert Show on Acadiana's sports station, 103.7 The Game.
And we welcome you back. We continue our coverage of the upcoming NBA draft tonight from Brooklyn in New York. And a historical night it can be and should be for fans of the New Orleans Pelicans. Shamit Dua does a tremendous job at Bourbon Street Shots. We want his opinion of things. I'm like a kid at Christmas time, Shamit. How are you feeling today right now?
Oh, I think you captured the sentiment perfectly. I think the whole city of New Orleans is very excited. I think large parts of the state are very excited about this. And, you know, obviously Zion Williamson is going to be the headline for tonight, but there's probably just as much excitement for that number four pick and seeing what's going to happen with it.
It's pretty well known now that the first three picks are going to go according to form, with Ja Morant, number two, going to Memphis, R.J. Barrett, the other Duker, going number three to the New York Knicks. And now here we are with the trade from of Anthony Davis. The Pelicans pick up the Lakers' fourth pick in the first round. I've said this to everybody. I'm going to let you be the boss. You're going to make the decision. Knowing what is there, knowing what you have, what does Shamet Dua do with the fourth pick overall?
I'm definitely looking to shop it around to see if I can get teams interested in perhaps trading down for this pick and giving up a young player that's very good as well as their own pick. I think there have been discussions with many teams, and perhaps you can even get multiple picks out of this pick. So I'm definitely looking to squeeze value out of this pick. If that's not the case, if that doesn't materialize, I'm more than happy keeping the pick and selecting Jared Culver, who I'm a big fan of. I think he's a wing that can play in today's NBA, does all the little things, defends, passes, scores. So I think the Pelicans can really, you know, go in either direction, and they have a lot of options.
Yeah. Is the reason why they're shopping around because there's not that much difference after the first three players between picks, say, 4 through 10 or 11? Is that the reason? Or because I like Culver, too. I think he can play. I like his offensive skill set. I like his defensive skill set from what I saw at Texas Tech. Why are the Pelicans so interested in shopping down a little bit?
Yeah, I think the sort of skill leveling between 4 and let's say, you know, 10, 11, 12 or so is definitely a component of it. But I think there's also a component of there's a lot of youth on this team. So if you can go and grab a player that is a little bit more ready to contribute now, as well as getting another pick, maybe a little bit, you know, further on the draft slot, like 11 with Minnesota, then that lines up with both of the Pelicans' interests in trying to field a competitive team next year, as well as having another young player to grow with Zion.
You've got Zion. You've got Jrue Holiday. They just exercised for a steal of a deal, Jahlil Okafor. Knowing the landscape, seeing what the Pelicans have, what do they need the most? And who has the most to offer to get that in a young player who's been in the league a little bit and has learned the ropes, who can contribute and make this team a little bit more viable? Who do you think has that?
Yeah, so I think the Pelicans at this stage need improvement in pretty much every area. Obviously, you have Jrue Holiday's position locked down, and with Lonzo Ball coming in, you know, you kind of got your two backcourt slots filled, and Zion Williamson's presumably going to be a starter at one of the forward positions, probably power forward. I think the rest of the roster needs a lot of help. There needs to be a lot of depth on the bench. There are still spots to fill in the starting center role. So I think there's a lot of talk with Indiana and Miles Turner. I think he's a 23-year-old young center who was in contention for a defensive player of the year last year. I think a lot of people were giving him buzz because Indiana finished with a top-two defense. Tremendous shot blocker, can space the floor. If a guy like that becomes available and Indiana wants to give up their 18th pick in the draft, I think that'd be a steal of a deal. I'm not entirely sure what other options the Pelicans may have on the table. I think, you know, they've kicked tires on trying to acquire all-star Bradley Beal. I don't think the Wizards are too willing to let go of that guy at this moment. I think they're talking to Minnesota. I think there was a report last night where the Pelicans would be interested in Robert Covington, who is a very prototypical 3-and-D player. He was first-team all-defense not too long, I think, not this year, the past year with Jrue.
Not to interrupt
Jrue Holiday. Yeah.
Not to interrupt you. There may be some people that know, what did he just say, a 3-and-B? What is that?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the NBA, there is a lot of premium placed on players who can hit the three ball really well as play good defense. Now, Robert Covington is a former first-team all-defensive level player, and he's a really good three-point shooter. And so in today's NBA, having a 3-and-D player that can play defense across multiple positions is extremely valuable when you match up against teams like Golden State or Houston, who have some of those bigger guys like James Harden or Kevin Durant that you need to be able to defend against.
Should I do a Bourbon Street Shots, the NBA draft tonight? Solomon Hill's still around. What other contracts are the Pelicans looking to dump, if at all humanly possible, out of this evening?
Yeah, so I think the good thing with the Pelicans is, like, I don't think there's a tremendous amount of urgency in dumping the contracts. There's only 1 year left on Solomon's deal, only 1 year left on Etuan's deal, and I think Etuan's definitely the more movable of the two players. But, you know, if they can move Solomon Hill with this fourth pick, I certainly think they're going to explore that option, because why not? You know, if you can open up cap space, that is definitely a route that they're going to look into. But I don't think that's a hill that they want to die on. Excuse my pun there.
Mm-hmm. I excuse it and I welcome it. There's a couple of LSU players out there, Naz Reid, Tremont Waters. Do you think their names are selected tonight in these two rounds?
Yeah, I think both have a fairly decent chance of going somewhere in the second round. Maybe Naz Reid goes a little bit later in the first round. But I think, you know, at the end of the night, both might hear their names and find themselves on an NBA team.
Do you believe in the trade with the Lakers, Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Hart? Do you think all three of those are in the roster? Or do you think that even David Griffin might entertain packaging one of them with a draft pick to try to get that, quote, all-star that he was proposing would be part of the deal overall?
Yeah, I think if they have an opportunity to land an all-star, they will pounce on it with no hesitation. And if it means including one of those young players, you know, so be it. I think the Pelicans have set themselves up in the future with a lot of draft picks and with Zion coming in, that they have plenty of young players to sort of take care of, and that's not going to be an issue. So if they can acquire an all-star, for sure. But I think at this moment it's looking like all three of those guys are sticking around.
Who's out there available realistically as an all-star that maybe Griff is looking at? We keep hearing the word Kevin Love. He knows about Kevin Love for bringing him over to Cleveland. But does Kevin Love a fit with this club?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit hesitant on guys like Kevin Love. So the names you're hearing are Kevin Love or Blake Griffin or DeMar DeRozan. You know, all guys, I think, just really don't fit the Pelicans' timeline and don't necessarily fit the team really well. I'm really hesitant to commit to a person that has 4 years left on their deal before Zion even touches the ball in New Orleans. I mean, Kevin Love, he's a great player, has a little bit of an injury history, and he's making, you know, upwards of $30 million a year. That's a huge amount of cap that you're committing to over the next 4 years. I think he has over $120 million left on his deal. To sort of jump into that head first without seeing what the team's going to look like with all these young players makes me nervous. So it's not someone I would look into pursuing.
Shamit Dua, Bourbon Street Shots, that 39th pick overall in the second round. We've seen players that have stuck around the league for a long time that come into those positions. Is that coming to play here, or is that part of a trade mix as well?
I think if I had a bet, I think that pick is going to be traded before the end of the night. But that being said, I think the Pelicans are finally investing in a G League infrastructure. And so drafting someone at 39 and putting them through their development program, allowing them time to grow and develop, is a pathway the Pelicans can definitely take that they didn't necessarily have an option of doing before.
Take me back to Anthony Davis when he was selected and his first season. Did he live up to the high expectations that were garnered upon him? Because I'm trying to draw a correlation here as to, look, everybody thinks Zion's going to come in here and be the, you know, just be sensational. I'm trying to remember Anthony Davis's initial impact for the franchise.
I think the excitement with Anthony Davis was a very tangible factor around that time in 2012 and 2013, that season. I think a lot of fans were excited. I certainly was. Davis didn't end up winning Rookie of the Year. He had a pretty successful year, by his own standards, but I don't think anyone envisioned him becoming as great of a player as he is today. He put up 13 points, 8 rebounds, very, very efficiently. He had some very good statistics that supported the fact that he's going to be a good player, but I don't think anyone realized that, you know, in a few years he'd be putting up, you know, games like, you know, 40 points, 15 rebounds, like 4 blocks a night. Like that kind of performance, I don't think anyone anticipated coming from Davis on a regular basis. And I think with Zion, it might be a little similar, where I feel like people should temper expectations a little bit, because it's a big change to go from college to the NBA. The defenders are different, the game is different, the speed is different. So I think Zion's going to – I think the staff wants to also put him in a low-pressure environment, surrounding him with players that are good and make his job easier. And, you know, you might see in year two or year three where he makes a massive leap.
I can tell you, 13-8, people will be disappointed. I'm just telling you. And maybe that's not fair to the kid, but they'll be disappointed. If you can go way out on a limb, and we won't hold this against you in any way, shape, or form, give me the starting lineup in your mind for the Pels when they tip it off opening night.
Oof, that is a tough one. Okay, so Lonzo Ball at point guard, Jrue Holiday at shooting guard. Okay. I'm going to go off the wall here. I'm going to say Robert Covington from Minnesota at small forward. I think Brandon Ingram will be a super sub and will close games, but I think to add more shooting into the lineup, it'll insert Robert Covington. And then he's the 3-and-D player that I was talking about earlier, by the way. Zion Williamson at the power forward slot. And the center one's really tough for me. You know what? I'm just going to take a...
Is it going to be a newcomer?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a newcomer. I really think the center slot's going to be a newcomer, someone in free agency. I'm going to take a stab in the dark. I think... If the Raptors kind of dismantle their team a little bit, if Kawhi Leonard walks away and goes to L.A., I think Marc Gasol opts out and the Pelicans pursue Marc Gasol.
Wow. I'm all in on that. Are you talking about space the floor, can handle it, can pass it? I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I really do think they're trying to bring in a veteran player there. I think if you look at what happened in Milwaukee this past year, where they got Brook Lopez, and Brook Lopez just shot a ton of threes. He was able to space the floor for Giannis. I really think they want that veteran guy like Brook Lopez, who is a free agent, by the way. You know, I don't anticipate him leaving Milwaukee, but you never know. I mean, if they go after a guy like Brook Lopez, Al Horford is now on the market. There are some very talented centers on the market, I think, the Pelicans can go for. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's an established player and that's a total newcomer.
Man, I tried to get a hold of David Griffin. He won't return my call. I guess he's a little busy. Can you imagine what's on his plate? Can you imagine?
Oh, man, I do not envy that position at all. You know, from what's being reported, the Pelican staff is working just countless hours. You know, they're going home close to midnight every night, if not later. You know, they're always on the phone. They're discussing literally with every team, every single possibility. I'm sure they've called about every player in the league. And that's not even including, you know, overseas scouting, because there's quite a bit amount of international talent in this draft as well. So it's a job that I do not envy. And, you know, that's why they make the big bucks.
Yeah. Well, for the first time in quite a while, the draft starts at number 4, and we'll see what David Griffin has up his sleeve and what's as they try to continue this resurgence of basketball in the Big Easy. I can't wait, man. It's like Christmas here on June the 20th. I can't believe it. I'm looking forward to it, man. Thanks so much for your time. We continue to look forward to your great reporting on Bourbon Street Shots, and let the fun begin, my friend. Let it begin.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me.
All right, buddy. You take care. Shamit Dua, Bourbon Street Shots. So, wow, we've been to Brooklyn. We've been all over the place. It's that big. It's curious to see what the Pelicans are going to do. And everybody says it's all lock and stock and barrel. What's going to happen? 1, 2, 3. Maybe not. Who knows? Are you going to be watching? Heck yeah. If you're a basketball fan, you're going to be watching. All right, this is the Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We're back to wrap things up this Thursday edition, NBA Draft, front court, center stage. We'll be right back.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Hey, we welcome you back. I know, a busy, busy, lots of NBA talk. And some of you love the NBA. Some of you can't stand the NBA. I understand it. But it's in New Orleans. It's in our state. And it's a transforming night for that franchise. And, man, it would be so great to have the team across the street, the Saints, vying for a Super Bowl championship. And now the Pelicans becoming a viable franchise with a solid foundation under their feet and building and making all the right steps to become kind of what the Saints have become, just a model franchise that many people thought at one point in time was a laughingstock, as they were with the Saints. And then things changed. And, boy, they've got that thing running smoothly. And it would be great just right across the street at the Smoothie King Center for the same thing to happen in this small, small market, to have two really, really well-run, efficient, fun franchises. The Saints are fun to watch. I think the Pelicans are about to be fun to watch, and that's just music to these ears. We haven't been able to say that very, very often. We really haven't. All right, let's do our daily history lesson, because it was on this day, June 30th, the year 1993. I can still see it so vividly. All focus on Michael Jordan. He dribbles, gets a double team, kicks it out to John Paxson. And John Paxson delivered the game winner in Game 6 of the NBA Final for the Chicago Bulls for a 4-2 series win over Charles Barkley and the Phoenix Suns. It was Chicago's third straight championship. After that, Michael Jordan said, I'm going to retire from basketball. I'm going to go play baseball. Then he came back, and they won three more. So Steve Kerr did it once, but on this day, June 30th, 1993, it was John Paxson who delivered the dagger to win the NBA title, a three-peat for the Chicago Bulls. If today is your birthday, the 20th day of June, man, all of us at 103.7 The Game and everything else under the Delta Media umbrella wish you the very happiest of days. Cake and ice cream, a celebration, a gift or two. Just enjoy it, man. Enjoy every minute of every day. Got a couple of near and dear friends of mine that you celebrate your birthday with. Led LSU to a national championship as their quarterback under Les Miles. Happy birthday to Matt Flynn, who still had the greatest NFL career ever. Never got hit, just collected checks left and right, and now doing a great job. Matt Flynn, happy birthday. And to my near and dear friend, my teammate, still one of the greatest point guards to ever play at LSU, happy birthday to one Ethan Martin. I know he's on a golf course somewhere in Baton Rouge as we speak, but what a great player, unassuming, but boy, what a competitor and what a winner. What a winner. Both of them, Ethan Martin, Matt Flynn, winners. I like being around winners. It's really, really good. That's why I like being around Clint Domain. He's a winner, and he's my producer extraordinaire. Special thanks, Andrew Lopez in Brooklyn for the NBA draft. Preston Ellis at the Bird Rights, Shamit Dua, Bourbon Street Shots. Again, I know it was NBA heavy, but it deserves it. Could be a great, great night. I can't wait to see. What is David Griffin going to do? What is he going to do? So far, it's all been roses, and we hope it continues that way tonight. So stay tuned. Tomorrow we'll recap it all. The dust will have settled, and we'll see exactly what the Pels did with that fourth pick overall. And then it's free agency time. It's going to be fun. Going to be exciting. Yes, indeed. All right, CD, thank you for all the hard work that you do. Thanks to all of our guests. Thanks to all of you for listening in. And to our partners that make it possible, man, thank you. We always welcome more. We do. We only have one Thursday, June 20th, so make it a great rest of your afternoon and evening and come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m., same great station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Until tomorrow, God willing, I'm Jordy Hultberg. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.